2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. Get yourself 7 free days to try out everything that we got going on here behind the barrack walls. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, which builds up to 150 lineups for you in golf contests, NASCAR, and all sorts of other competitions. With baseball, you get to check out all of our VIP tools, including the VIP lineups page and, of course, Burnsy's Analytics Corner. Once again, promo code WIN, W-I-N, gets you 7 free days. And if you also like us after that, use the promo code PODCAST and get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Twitter is where you can find me. 14A.Walsh is the handle. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. So, my sleep schedule is all screwed up because of the Open Championship going on. I know you're not paying attention to it this weekend, but hopefully you can keep me up here.
Yeah, I can try to keep you up, but my sleep schedule is kind of off too right now. So,
right. I mean, I just don't want my face to hit the keyboard.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're good on that front.
I can't ruin the merchandise, you know.
Yeah, we can. Devise some good entertainment for the folk,
for the common man. No, I mean, like I told you, you know, before we hit record on this damn thing, I kind of set my sleep schedule up pretty nice yesterday, and yeah, I woke up at like 1:20 this morning, got ready. You know, now here's the other thing too. If I didn't do so good on day one, I would have said to hell with this contest. But I did it right there, and then all my guys shooting over par today, so that kind of sucks. But we are here to talk about baseball. 14 games on today's slate. We got the one afternoon game going on there with the Cardinals and the Cubbies. Nice little NL Central rivalry for the people. But we got to get right into it today.
Yeah, we do. We've got 15 games on the slate. It's 14. Sorry, forgot about that stinking Friday Cubs game. And we've got some good pitchers on the slate and some decisions that we got to make some people some money. So,
Indeed. All right, let's go into the pitchers first. Usually it's the stacks, but we got high marquee names on the slate today. I guess we shall start it off. If you're going all the way at the top, let's just have a heavyweight battle here with Chris Sale, Max Scherzer. Out of those two, should we include Alex Wood in on the heavyweights?
No.
No? All right. So let's go. Chris Sale, Max Scherzer. Who you got in this one?
It's Chris Sale.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's not even close. You're going up against an Angels team that is a better ballpark. He's got the same capabilities to strike out. But I just, you know... there's less of a propensity to get blown up in the Big A than there is in Chase Field.
Okay.
So, plus we talked about some of the BVP that these Diamondbacks had. It's a little interesting.
Yeah, so, all right, let's get to that because I thought that was one of the more interesting things here. So, Jake Lamb... Actually, an interesting one there. 4-for-9 with 2 homers. Gregor Blanco, 5-for-9 against Max Scherzer. I will say this, though. Max Scherzer's numbers on the road this season, very good. He is 8-2 with a 1.36 ERA. Even 2 complete games going up against these road teams. 140 opposing average away from DC, 108 strikeouts in just under 80 innings. All those things work out. I think, you know, we've seen the Diamondbacks struggle in terms of making contact from time to time. They do have the 11th highest K rate against right-handed pitching. Not the greatest, but again, not a ton of contact there. So, it's crazy. I feel like in this situation, I feel like I would probably go with Scherzer in this one. Again, he's going to get the ability to pitch to the pitcher tonight. That's something else I would take into consideration. And we have seen the Angels be pains in the asses before. It's not like they're going to roll over and die for anybody. But, again, we're talking about an Angels team that has Mike Trout back in the lineup. They've looked pretty good, in the last couple of games that he's been back. So, that's all there. And, I get the BVP things with Scherzer, but this isn't not to be difficult with you and disagree with you either. But again, if I'm making a decision, I think I'm going to go Scherzer over Sale.
Yeah, but we're talking about a Diamondbacks team that performs infinitely better at home than they do on the road.
Indeed.
I mean, we're talking about picking between a green apple and a red apple here.
Well, I think the red is far more delicious than the green kind of has some sourness to it, no?
Yeah, it has a tart flavor.
All right, not a big tart guy.
So, yeah, it's...
Don't be trying to pawn your sweet tarts on me at Halloween time when I go trick-or-treating either.
I think the green apples actually taste better with caramel, though.
Okay. See, we weren't even talking about condiments with our apples, but all right, fair enough.
But, yeah, it's a lot of... they both have the ability to go 10 plus as far as strikeouts are concerned. They both have the ability to, absolutely just dominate the opposition. And they both have, abilities to go deep into the ball games. Now, the question is when you start to analyze and go for the win, if we're talking about, getting those extra bonus points, because I do think that the win, and this is farly detailed with what I, think about getting credit for a win.
Sure.
If you want to talk about that and going with the better offense, then obviously, yes, it's the Washington Nationals, but, if I was building 20 teams tonight, which I'm not, but if I was, I would probably go 7-7.
Okay.
Split them right down the middle.
Great drink, by the way, 7-7.
And then throw in a couple others, to boot. So, but I would definitely hedge by, a couple of those other teams stacking against them.
All right. Fair enough. Now, again, both those guys very high on a lot of people's lists today, as for good reason, a lot of the reasons that we pointed out. But I believe there are plenty of other options that we can go to here today to get some bats into our lineup. I guess I'll start it. I think there's a good tier of pitchers here when we talk about guys like Alex Wood, Aaron Nola, Jeff Samardzija, Hugh Darvish. And I'm even going to throw Steven Matz in there today, just based on the matchup. But out of those five guys, who you like in there?
Well, not Steven Matz, that's for sure.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, I could get down with, I guess, a little bit of Nola. He's got the strikeout potential there against the Brewers, but he also has the ability to get blown up for five or six runs with a couple home runs. Yu Darvish is interesting going into Tampa. That's one of the lower totals of the night. It's only an 8. The problem is again, the Rangers, they seem to score runs, but once they get into that bullpen is absolutely atrocious. Mm-hmm. I like Trevor Bauer a little bit just because of the strikeout upside. With the Blue Jays, oh my goodness gracious. Alex Wood is probably where I would probably go. Him or Jeff Samardzija. If I was going to do a full fade, I've been on the Alex Wood train most of the year.
Oh yeah, me too.
And it's proven to be profitable. So I think Dave Roberts has given him a little bit longer of a leash. It's a lot better as far as the matchup is concerned. I'm besides Freddie Freeman, I'm not really worried about a lot of Braves because they do seem to be left-handed heavy.
And yeah, Dodgers minus 305 favorites in Vegas tonight.
Yeah, I don't pay a lot of attention to Vegas. I pay more attention to like the line movement. But that's another thing that you have to take into consideration is they are favored to win. But then again, they were a, what was it? Oh no, that was with Kershaw on the mound. I was about to say they were like a 340 favorite yesterday, so, but they weren't. That was with Kershaw on the mound the other day, so.
Yeah, I gotta go back to my boy Nola here. I rarely get to tout any of my fills today, but today is a good day to do so. So Nola, five straight quality starts with at least seven strikeouts in each outing. He is 3-1 over that span of the last five games. And his last three home starts have been very good. 2-1, got the 0.81 whip, only allowing three earned runs over 22 in the third inning. Also, 25 strikeouts in that span as well. Now, he did just face the Brewers in his last start, did have seven strikeouts in six innings against them, only gave up two earned runs, no decision. I don't like a guy facing a team the second time in a while, but again, the Brewers do have the ability to strike out a ton, so I do like that. Another guy you mentioned, Jeff Samardzija. This is another guy who just faced the Padres. This was back on Sunday. And they absolutely took him to the woodshed really quick. So I like, Samardzija now being in San Francisco at night, gonna have much better atmospheric conditions than he had in that last one. And I think, a little bit of oomph behind him too, since the Padres made him look stupid. The former Notre Dame wideout will look to come back big in this one.
And it is about to be Shark Week.
And yeah, I hate Shark Week is one of the most overrated TV programs
It
of all
was
time.
great, like the first couple years they did it, like, and I like watching them or watching it. Don't get me wrong, because we're talking about the biggest predator in, the
The
world,
Water Kingdom?
the world.
Okay.
When you're talking about great whites, anyways.
Sure.
But
Yeah.
there's a lot of interesting things there, and it's kind of fun, so.
I'll tell you what blew up Shark Week. That stupid line in that movie Step Brothers, where they're like, you're grounded, no TV for a week. And they're like, but it's Shark Week. Ever since that happened, Shark Week has been like the thing. Like, if you don't watch Shark Week, you're not cool. No, that's bullshit. That movie, Step Brothers, it made Shark Week the most overrated
That and
week of
Sharknado.
television. And, well, I kind of like Sharknado, Good to see Tara Reid back getting a paycheck once again because of Sharknado. So that's all good and dandy. But
Underrated talent when she was younger, by the way.
indeed, I actually saw her in person when I lived in Tampa. She was there. She was with her beau at the time, Carson Daly. This is the Super Bowl week that I saw them, so that was cool. Back to the baseball here though. Steven Matz was the guy that I mentioned that you were not too fond of, but again, this is a guy who is a pretty good pitcher. Hasn't showed it in his last two starts, but again, we know that the A's really struggle against left-handed pitching. Again, he's going to be able to face this A's team that loses the DH going to the NL Park. I like that aspect of things. And again, this is purely an ownership play for GPPs and whatnot, but Matt's only 7,700 on FanDuel. I think he's got some pretty nice upside here tonight against a team that is really bad against lefties.
I mean, I can see that. I just don't like the way that he's been throwing. That now, with that said,
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
that's
that either.
with that said, I mean, he does have the ability to turn it around. I'm not saying that at all. But it's one of those things like, are you believing in the talent or are you believing the way he's going right now? And that's it's something I would want to look a little bit more into. The Rockies kind of lit him up, but they crush left-handed pitching, so maybe this is a good matchup to
Yes.
get back on track for him.
Yeah, I was I took the words right out of my mouth. All right, let's play my favorite, the yay or nay game. I'm going to give you a couple pitchers, yay or nay, little blurb about them. And if you disagree, I will come back with some fantastic statistics. All righty then. All right, Trevor Cahill at San Francisco tonight.
Don't mind it, actually.
All right. So... He just skilled the Giants for 52 FanDuel points on Sunday. That was same matchup against Samardzija.
Yeah, I would say that's a yay. I don't mind it. I'm not excited about it. It's more of like a DraftKings SP2 play to pair up with another mid-tier guy, because I don't think that you can go get Cahill and a Sale or a Scherzer. I would be pairing him up with like a Yu Darvish or a Steven Matz on that front. So,
all right. Let's see here. I was trying to write something else. Alex Cobb against the Rangers.
I want to say nay, but everything about it is saying yay.
Well, I mentioned him. That's why there's something interesting about him.
Well, and what's interesting about him is like you're getting the downgrade in a ballpark shift. Texas has not been a good or consistent team this year. Their offense is one to left to be desired. Don't let me forget to talk about Yu Darvish here in a second after we get done playing this game, because there's some news that is out there.
Okay. Well, why don't you just bring it up now?
Well, I want to give us credit too, because we talked about it on Tuesday, the last time that we did this pod, keeping guys like JD Martinez and Todd Frazier out of your lineups, and they were traded that afternoon.
Interesting.
Yu Darvish is a hot trade commodity right now. There was a report last night from a guy from I forgot what his name was, but he is saying that the Rangers are fielding phone calls on Yu Darvish. Now, Yu is a free agent after the end of the year. So I think that it's something that, you know, they have to explore. But with that same situation, you've got to kind of think about it like, are they really going to do it today? Probably not. But if there's any sort of traction about a deal and with you and his injury history, we have to pay attention to it and we have to be careful. So, because they will pull him. I remember a couple years ago, and I think we talked about this last year about the same time, that right before Ubaldo Jimenez was getting traded to the Cleveland Indians, the Rockies literally had him warming up and had another starting pitcher warming up right beside him. And he goes out and gets absolutely shelled. And we haven't really seen that since, but if there's any sort of traction leading up to this game, and it's something you have to watch, you have to pay attention to. If you're building one lineup, I would stay away from Yu Darvish.
Interesting.
Very interesting. It's just something that, you know, around this time of year, we don't, as us, you know, being who we are, we don't really know what's real and what's not. So we have to take precautions because of the fact that we are putting so much on our pitchers, especially a guy like Yu Darvish. So I think he's an interesting tournament play if you want to give him a shot and, you know, roll the dice. I don't think he's going to be highly owned because of the report that just came out last night. So I think it's worth a shot and hoping that a deal gets done in like a day or two, or, you know, closer to the deadline. So.
Gotcha. Now, when you said being who we are, that is quality.
Not insiders. We don't have access to GMs.
But like we are quality people. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely we are.
All right, so with Alex Cobb, of course, you know some fancy stats coming. 6 quality starts in his last 7 tries. he's gone at least seven innings in four of his last five. Gone at least seven innings in four of his last five starts. 4-3, 2.64 ERA in seven home starts, which is good. And then, of course, you mentioned with the Rangers offense struggling prior to last night where they faced Wade Miley. I'm not really going to count that. But prior to that, 13 runs in the seven games before that. So not very good. All right, next name on the list, we've got Ervin Santana going up against the Tigers at home.
I do have a little bit of interest here just because the Tigers are so bad against right-handed pitching. That would be my thoughts there. We know that Santana is not going anywhere because the Twins are in the process of acquiring Jaime Garcia. So, they're kind of, I don't want to say going all in, but they're trying to make a run at the division, if not at least a wild card. And so they don't have to worry about that. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Santana hasn't looked good in the last couple starts, has he?
He had a couple rough ones, but he does have three quality starts in his last four. Okay. And then, you know, the thing that's very appealing about him, four complete games this season, three of them being shutouts. I know a lot of that was probably earlier in the season, but still, nonetheless, good. I mean, overall, the numbers look pretty good. 11-6, 2.99 ERA, the whip at 1.11, which is very cool. The one thing I do worry about here, the Tigers do have some pretty good BVP numbers against them. But again, Santana's been around for so long, you really have no idea how long when exactly these numbers were from. But, definitely going to be interesting. I mean, the splits for Santana this year, pretty good. He has given up some long balls, which is a bit worrisome. And again, you know, target field, not the greatest park to pitch in. But of course, there is some upside always with Santana.
Yeah, especially to right-handed batters. But with guys like Alex Avila not being able to hit the broadside of the barn, no JD Martinez in there anymore. James McCann's probably not going to be in the lineup tonight since it's not a lefty. You're going to get guys like, even though he won me a bunch of money the other night, Mikey Matuk, Alex Presley, they're going to be in the lineups as well. So, I mean, Castellanos is going to slide down to that five spot. Victor Martinez has been a shell of himself all year long. So these are things that I'm not really kind of worried about.
All right. Fair enough. All right, I already know your answers to these next two, but I have to throw them out there anyway. CC Sabathia at the Seattle Mariners.
No.
Okay. Just to throw it out there, CC 5-2 with a 2.34 ERA and 9 road starts this season. And we have seen Mariners struggle against left-handed pitching at times this season. Again, not the greatest option, but I'd throw it out there. And last but not least, Ricky Nolasco going head to head with Chris Sale and the Red Sox.
You know, this is interesting because Nolasco at times has looked like he is trying to mimic guys like Chris Sale and Max Scherzer, at least with the ability to pitch, maybe not the strikeouts, but the ability to pitch. That's interesting. The problem I have with that is that at some point, this Boston offense has to do something, right?
You would think.
Like, they're too talented to be a middle of the road to bad offense all year long. They're gonna go on a little bit of a run. Pedroia is just absolutely on fire, and so is Henry Ramirez. The loss of Xander Bogaerts hurts a little bit. It's interesting. Maybe as an SP2, definitely not an SP1. I don't think he has the strikeout upside. But if you're going to stack Coors, which I think is a viable strategy today, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, I think that it is at least worth entertaining the thought.
Yeah, sure. In the last three quality starts in his last four outings, in those three quality starts, he's allowed one earned run or one run or fewer in three of those four. You know, included in there is a complete game shutout against the Mariners at home. Another six inning third shutout against the Dodgers, and his last outing against the Rays, he goes seven innings, gives up two hits, two walks, one run, strikes out six. So, you know, three of these last four have been really good. The only misnomer there against the Rangers, he gives up eight runs in an inning and two thirds and just gets absolutely clubbed over the head. So,
was that in Texas, though?
That was in Texas.
There you go.
They were two-stepping all over his face that night. So, all right, those are all good pitching options tonight to look at. We got plenty of them with 28 options to choose from, but we have picked out the key ones for you. So, you're welcome, folks. You are very welcome. All right, before we get into the position-by-position breakdown, let's talk about some stacks. A lot of appealing ones, a lot of good numbers to break down. So, who is at the top of your list this evening?
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yo, look at this against Jeffy Hoffman.
I love Jeff Hoffman. I think he is.
As do I.
He is a fantastic pitcher, but he is a rookie. Here's what's hilarious. Coors Field does not even play into this. Like, yeah, it's a little bit, but you can go find, as we've seen all year long, you can go find offense in other ballparks. It's not difficult to go out and do. I mean, you've got Baltimore, you've got Arizona. I mean, you don't have to worry about always missing out on Coors Field. Now, I do think that they're interesting if they're going to be, you know, low owned, because mm-hmm. I think that that's a great tournament strategy. Pay up to be contrarian. And it's worked for us at times. But I don't think that you can overlook the fact that, you know, some of the freaking Polanco and McCutcheon absolutely just kill us. Like every year, whether it be in Pittsburgh, whether it be in, you know, in Denver, they absolutely kill us. You know, McCutcheon had a bad year last year. His best game was the game that he ended up hitting, like, I think it was like three home runs that day.
Three homers are good. Always welcome.
Yeah. So it's just, it was unbelievable.
All right.
And so, yeah, I do like the Pirates today.
Yeah, I really don't mind some Pirate. I love that Polanco play. He's one of my favorite outfielders tonight. So.
And he's hot.
Indeed, indeed. And yeah, just some background on Jeffy Hoffman. His ERA at Coors Field this season is four runs higher than that on the road. But I know exactly what you were talking about, saying that Coors Field doesn't even play into it, because it's not like, you know, he's getting ripped for three homers every start. I mean, like, for instance, the one start against the Diamondbacks where he gave up nine hits, you know,
nine runs,
all of them were like, you know, he just got singled to death in that game. So.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is, you know, you take that one start out and all of a sudden his ERA at home is better than it is on the road.
Wow.
I mean, that ERA is very mistelling, but if you go back and you look at the game logs, it's a little mistelling because of the fact that he did have that one bad, just unbelievably horrific start.
And you know what's funny? Oh, sorry. You know what's hysterical is that you look at his road ERA and it's what, like two. I think it's 230 something, and that's kind of misleading because he's just been absolutely lights out on the road. And then that one start against the Mets where he had like a 20 run lead to work with. You know, I believe he gave up like four runs, but you know, with such a huge lead, I don't think he was pitching his normal game.
Yeah, and, you know, Jeff Hoffman, he didn't have a bad start, his last start in Denver. The issue was that he didn't have the strikeouts to go along with it. He only had two strikeouts, but he still threw seven innings and only allowed four earned runs. So it wasn't like it was a bad start. It was a great baseball start, not a good fantasy start. So that's, it's, That's what we're saying. If you just go game log watching, you're gonna be like, oh, a 21 and a 15. But you know, I don't. Jeff Hoffman's interesting just because the ground ball rate and the strikeout rate are there. But the Pirates don't strike out a lot.
Oh.
But they, you know, it's and they're don't worry. they come in hot. They just swept the Brewers in four games.
They did. Don't worry. We already talked about the pitchers. You missed your turn for Jeffy Hoffman. We're on to
Saturday. Oh, I'm not adding in Jeff Hoffman to this mix, trust me.
Fair enough. I think there's plenty. I actually like both sides. I know you mentioned Trevor Bauer, but I like both sides of this game with the Indians and the Blue Jays. You look at both starters in this game, and both guys are prone to getting blowed up. Marco Estrada. Now, we talked about this with Rafael Montero the other day from the Mets, and it actually worked out pretty well for us. But Marco Estrada has given up at least four walks in each of his last five starts. You know, again, you put guys on base, you're going to have plenty of RBI opportunities. You're going to put yourself in a lot of trouble. And again, Estrada, just an extreme fly ball pitcher, a guy that, you know, a lot of these Indians could take advantage of. So I really like them a lot today. I haven't necessarily checked out their price today, but I wonder if they're down a little bit from being in San Francisco the last week. I don't know that for a fact, but I don't know. That'd be something interesting to look into.
Whose price?
All the Indians.
They are relatively comparable, actually. They're not bad, but they're not great.
Well, Jose Ramirez is down under 4,000 again. That's cause for celebration.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're not bad. They're not great. I mean, Zimmer, he's 2.6. Lindor's 3.5. So is Brantley. So is Edwin. You know, Ramirez is 3.7. I mean, they're pretty average. So
I can get down, man. And again, I'm sorry, and on the other side of things too, with the Blue Jays, you know, again, for whatever reason, they're just not hitting left-handed pitching this season. But give them a guy like Bauer, maybe we got something.
Yeah, and like I said, he's a guy that you would, if I would play, I would be hedge stacking with. I would play him in some lineups and then stack against him in some other ones. Just because I think the strikeout upside is there. The interesting part of it is Marco Estrada looks absolutely completely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's healthy.
Do you want to take a crack at what his WHIP is in the month of July?
That's the four starts that he actually threw after coming off the DL. I'm going to guess it's somewhere probably close to around two.
Oh, one number up higher. You almost had it. 2.86.
Jeez.
Yeah. Talk about fireworks, my friends.
Yes.
Good Lord. So, yes, you've got that. It's not a ton of meetings against Marco Estrada, but he does have decent BVP numbers against a couple of these guys. Although Carlos Santana is 3-for-5 with a homer, and Michael Brantley 2-for-3 with a homer against him. Again, not the greatest sample size ever created by man, but interesting nonetheless. I also like today, I mean, obviously the Houston Astros are going to be in Baltimore going up against Ubaldo Jimenez. If you look at the splits this season against Jimenez, lefties are doing a ton more damage. And it's interesting when we get to the outfielders, we'll talk about Carlos Beltran. But in 32 career plate appearances against Jimenez, Beltran has yet to strike out against him. And he is 10-for-28 with three doubles and three homers against him. So I'll revisit that when we get to the outfielders.
Yeah, please do.
Yes. And Josh Reddick, 8-for-19 against him. And might even have a spot for my boy Norchika Aoki if he gets to start today, so I don't mind that. Any other stacks you're looking at tonight?
The Dodgers.
Yeah, buddy. And by the way, it's not Jaime Garcia. It is Aaron Blair. They've already switched that.
Oh, yeah. I already knew that. That's why I said the Dodgers. Because I don't. Because honestly, Jaime Garcia has actually pitched very well over his last, you know, over the last month and a half.
Right.
So that's why I'm not really, you know, I wouldn't be really, you know, enthralled with stacking against him. But I do like. I do like me some Dodgers tonight, some Doyers.
All right, all right. I can get down with that. I don't love the matchup for my boys tonight. I'm talking about the Philadelphia Phillies, of course. But it is really hard to look away from what Odubel Herrera, Michael Franco, and Nick Williams have all done since the All-Star break. All three of these guys are absolutely raking. So that could be an interesting low-owned stack.
They get back Garza.
Yeah, Matt Garza's been pretty good, though. I mean, you know what? I shouldn't say pretty good, but he's limited damage. Teams aren't going absolutely bananas against him. So that is something. But, again, I don't think it'll be highly owned. And all three of these guys are just absolutely crushing. And, you know, they did it in Miami over the last three games, not the greatest hitters park. So, again, getting into Citizens Bank Park, a little bit of an upgrade there for them. So. Actually, a lot of bit of an upgrade for him there. So I do like them tonight. There were some other ones that I got here. The Marlins are in Cincinnati. I don't know how this didn't lead off the segment, but they're going up against Homer Bailey tonight. So, you know, you got a ton of guys in that lineup that can do some damage against him. Homer Bailey's ERA is up over 10 now, so congratulations.
Yeah, and guess who's the only team not to blow him up?
Joe Boys.
The Rockies.
Actually, there was another team that he did pretty well. I can't even think about. I think it was Washington, right? At Washington, I think he had a pretty good start.
I don't know, but
we don't need to talk about him. And the last one I thought was pretty interesting, Minnesota going up against Anibal Sanchez tonight. A lot of these guys have pretty good BVP numbers against him. So make sure I'll – you know, when my article comes out this afternoon, early afternoon, I'm almost done with it. So congratulations to me again. But a lot of these guys have some really good numbers. I will highlight it, though, with Max Kepler, 4-for-11 with a double and two dongs.
There you go.
Indeed. All right. Any other stacks before we break this down piece by piece?
Nope.
Sounds good. All right. Who you got behind the plate tonight?
I'm going to kind of start it off with Yasmani Grandal.
All right.
He had another home. Yeah, he did. He had a big night last night. And that's just kind of one of those things that I'll keep going to. Salvador Perez is interesting. He had another big night last night. Almost got drilled in the head. And then the first pitch, he steals a base. First stolen base of the season. So.
And he had that sick that swim motion slide at home plate to avoid the tag.
Yep, absolutely. So
look at Sal's big head getting dirty. Very nice, very nice. You mentioned the Pirates stack. You could include Francisco Cervelli as a piece of that. He has been the hottest hitting catcher by far in the majors. 10-for-23, double homer. I shouldn't say by far. That's because Wilson Contreras is also a catcher, and he's actually been much hotter than him. So I digress on that, but guess what? Contreras is on the early slate, so he's dead to me. But yeah, Cervelli, pretty damn good there with the 10 hits. The 10 hits, though, are the most by a catcher since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
You mentioned Grandal, Perez, who are on my list. Brian McCann, a lefty, going up against, Jimenez. I know Gattis has pretty good BVP numbers against Jimenez as well. So, I'm in there. Trying to see if we got any low cost options here today.
I don't know if you wanted to take a shot on Yan Gomes.
Yep. He has homered against Estrada before.
Mike Zunino is under 3,000. Manny Pena, I know it's against your boys, but that's still a good ballpark. He hasn't looked right over the last. His 30 day numbers are good, but his 14 day numbers are a little weird. But I think if I'm going under 3,000, it's going to be Zunino against Sabathia.
Okay. I'm going to be interested to see who plays catcher for the Twins tonight. Again, we talked about them. A lot of those guys having good numbers against Anibal Sanchez. So whether that's going to be Jimenez or Castro, whoever it is, both of those guys are incredibly cheap on FanDuel. Not sure about DK because, you know, don't play over there, but that could be an interesting way to go. We cannot forget Hector Sanchez. He roped one over the wall against actually all day. He had a pretty good day against Samardzija last week, so that might be an interesting way to go. Not the greatest park, but Sanchez is 2,200 on FanDuel, so not terrible either. Mm-hmm. All right, that'll do it for the catchers. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Super great. First base. Who you like in there?
Oh my goodness, Danny Valencia is on fire.
Oh.
Joey Votto is another good one. Eric Hosmer against James Shields. I mean, again, we go back to this thing that first base is kind of loaded. I mean, here's something that's hilarious. When Justin Bour has a 351 WOBA, 227 ISO, and he's not green at the first base position, you know he's loaded, or this position is loaded. I mean, Danny Valencia has a DFS head grade of over 189.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, Eric Hosmer has a 407 WOBA and a 308 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. His DFSA grades is 60, and he's like the fifth one down on the list, sixth one down on the list.
Whoa. Jose Abreu, 5-14 career off Ian Kennedy. Not a bad option there. You know, I don't mind. Who else are we looking at here? I love the Bour play. That's probably going to be my favorite one tonight, going up against Homer Bailey at the Great American Small Park. Really like that one a lot. You know, you got Chris Davis going up against Mike Fiers. If he can get a hold of one, Josh Bell, you know, he's all the way up to 3,900 on FanDuel. But again, I don't think a lot of people are going to be going that route, although he's in Coors Field. Again, Josh Bell for that much money just seems kind of ridiculous, like not like nobody's really going to do it, so I don't mind that. I like Hosmer, you mentioned, up against James Shields tonight. That's a fantastic way to go. Lucas Duda has been pretty hot lately. You know, he's another guy that's in these trade talks, so, you know, that could be a little sneaky or risque, however you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind that. Eric Thames, good short-term BVP off Aaron Nola, 2-for-3, 2 doubles, both, you know, last week. But that could be an interesting way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Justin Smoke, Kenji Morales as well.
Like we said, it's loaded.
Indeed. All right, second base.
It's really hard not to go to Jose Altuve.
You know what I wish I could do? I wish I can get 2008 Chase Utley against 2008 Matt Garza tonight.
That would be nice.
Like, I wish I could put Chase Utley, the 2008 version, on the Phils tonight against Matt Garza.
Yep.
That would make me happy.
That would.
That's what this life is all about, damn it.
we already talked about it, but Dustin Pedroia is on a roll. Of course, Daniel Murphy as well is always in play.
Yes. I'm very interested. Your boy, I'm shocked you didn't mention him first. Jonathan Scope, he's on a freaking roll lately.
Yeah, well, I had him and all over the place, what was it, two nights ago, and I didn't have him in the right sequence, so I'm kind of a little pissed at myself for that. I'm not pissed at him. I'm pissed at myself. So...
All well. Brian Dozier, 3 career homers against Anibal Sanchez. Dozier's been pretty good since the All-Star break, really posting some nice totals there, so I dig that one. Trying to see who's hot here over the last 7 days. Of course, Pedroia, been rocking and rolling. Jose Altuve in Baltimore is going to be pretty interesting.
Jed Lowry is still under 3K.
Going to be turned around to the right-hand side tonight against Mats.
Yep, 182 ISO, 364 WOBA over the last 30 days for Mr. Lowry against left-handed pitching. So,
Lowry.
He's showing he's showing a little bit of that power that we wanted from the right-hand side of the plate.
If you are going very expensive tonight at pitcher and you have no choice but to dumpster dive, let me find a beautiful gem for you in that dumpster. But Carlos Asuaje, the San Diego Padres, again, not the greatest ballpark, but guess what? The guy, he doesn't hit homers unless it's that one day in Coors Field. But again, against Jeff Samardzija, who really struggles against left-handed bats, Asuaje can slap it all over the field. He's got a lot of field to work with there at AT&T Park. And if he gets one in the gap, oh, dear Lord, he can't stop running.
Yep, exactly.
And I can guarantee you under 2% ownership. I wanted to say 1, but
yeah, like he won't garner high ownership. Yeah,
I really like Asuaje a lot. And again, I feel like that's a great move if – you know, you're paying all the way up at pitch. And if you're going with a guy like Nola or Darvish or somebody like that where you can probably fit a couple bats in, I probably wouldn't go a Suarez route. But, again, for Sale or Scherzer, I think that's a perfect move.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't really have too much. Yeah, that's all I got.
All righty.
All right, great. Wow, we're ripping and rolling, baby. Third base, who we got?
Nolan.
You know, I should, you know, from now on, I'm just going to say, besides Nolan Arenado, who do we like at third base?
It's just, it's hilarious because everybody's like, oh my gosh, Nolan Arenado, you know. And him and Charlie Blackmon always garner higher ownership out of Coors. You know, those are the two guys that people kind of gravitate towards.
Right.
But, I mean, come on, man. He's the best third baseman in baseball.
I'm well aware. I've heard it many times. I will tell you, I was looking at Williams' numbers as I look at every player on the slate, but Williams has allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in 11 of 12 starts. He's gone at least 5 innings in 10 of the 11. Now, obviously, you know, this is not PNC Park that he's pitching in, but I'm going to watch a little closer than usual to this guy tonight. I just want to see if this is real, if this is something that we can look at in the future for this guy. But it is interesting how he's limiting a ton of damage just looking at his numbers.
Yeah.
He said, I don't care. I have no concern.
I have no concern. I mean, Nolan is hot.
Yeah. Next talking topic.
Mike Moustakas.
Okay.
Yes. He's not getting on base a lot right now, but he's still crushing right-handed pitching. I would even go to Travis Shaw against your boy.
Yeah, lefties are good against Nolan.
Yeah, and who is the other one here? Jake Lamb.
Yes, very good numbers against Max Scherzer, by the way. Now, while he was struggling prior to that last game at Great American Ballpark, yeah, that was a huge game. And then, yeah, I said the numbers, but in case you were listening or, I don't know, petting a baby or something somewhere. Jake Lamb, 4-for-9, a double, 2 homers, 3 walks as well against Max Scherzer. So
yeah,
keep that in mind. Now, along the same lines of thinking with that Carlos Asuaje play, Corey Spangenberg.
Don't you say it.
Spangenberg.
Oh, my gosh.
Why?
Did you see that ball he hit last night?
I didn't.
Off of Bumgarner?
No, but...
Dude, it was into Triple's alley. Like, he hit a home run where you're not supposed to hit home runs last night.
Telling you, man, this guy's been raking. I mean, look, you take a look at his game log, you're going to be like, wow, I did not know that a Padres player could do that. But, you know, I don't...
Will Myers anyways?
Yeah. A lot of people want to pick on these Padres nowadays, but I tell you what, man, they're starting to get some of their young talent up here. My goodness. The Ryan Schimpf days are over, my friends. No free strikeouts. So I like that play with Spangenberg. I mentioned my boy Michael Franco at the top of the program when we were talking about Philly stacks, but Franco's been actually one of – let's see here. He actually is tied – for the league lead among third basemen since the All-Star break with 11 hits. He's hitting .440, 4 doubles, homer, 7 RBIs since the break. Him and Jose Reyes been having a little NL East party since the break. So, hey, guess what? One more hit than your boy, Arenado.
Yep.
I dig it. I dig it. That's Anthony Rendon. Can't forget about him. 10 and 19 since the break. 4 homers, 10 RBIs, 6 walks. OBP at 640. OPS at 1.851. Fantastic. Way to go, Anthony.
Yeah, over the last 30 days.
Keeping the NL East party going.
Last 30 days, 443 ISO, 550 or 545 WOBA. So, yeah, he's been good. Still not the best, but he's very good.
Indeed, indeed. I'm interested. Let's see. So we got Irvin Santana tonight. I know, you know, Castellanos has been absolutely clubbing left-handed pitching. I know he's going up against Santana tonight, but I don't know. This could be an interesting spot. I feel like a lot of the, you know, aside from last night, a lot of these Tigers bats have kind of, you know, stepped up in the few days since JD Martinez got traded. So I'm interested in him tonight. And again, at Target Field, nice place for right-handed batters to hit. So that could be an interesting GPP play.
Mm-hmm.
Castellanos does have 4 homers since the break.
He does.
He does. All right. That's all I got. Manny Machado, always interesting to me. I know he's not in the best form, but that's not bad. And then I forgot my boy Matt Chapman, too, against the lefty, Steven Matz.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. Shortstops. So we got here besides Trevor Story.
Now he's been hot, but he's not. He's been a lot better. But
by the way, Trevor Story, just for the people so they know, 9-22 since the break. 5 extra base hits, including 3 doubles, 8 RBIs. Still striking out a lot, but you know, I'll forgive him.
Yeah, he actually, besides the one game where he went like 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, he actually had cut the strikeouts down a little bit. I know you got Marwin Gonzalez against Abaldo. He's now shortstop eligible on FanDuel. You got Zach Cozart against Urena. Didi against Andrew Moore out in Seattle.
Didi. By the way, Didi's 10 hits lead all shortstops since the break.
Yes. Chris Owings maybe against Max Scherzer. I don't think I want to go there, but it is a possibility.
You know, this might be your possibil of the illity, but Owings' BVP against Scherzer is ridiculous.
Really, I haven't looked. I didn't look at all of them. So
actually, not that ridiculous. Well, you know what you would think for Chris Owings against him, but he's 6-for-16 double, but the 7 strikeouts kind of bring that tune down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didi was the one I was really looking at tonight against Andrew Moore. I like that one a lot.
I can definitely see that.
You concur? Nice. Very nice. Freddie Galvis, too. I mean, I like using him. I don't really like using him on the road too much, but at Philly, he's a very good pole hitter. And some of those balls that he hits that would usually be line drive doubles can kind of find their way out of Citizens Bank Park. So I don't mind that. But yeah, I think for me, it's going to be a DD night. He's ripping and roaring right now.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's still only 3,100. That's a good matchup. It's a good offense around him, so he's got the possibility to not only, you know, get on base and steal, but run score, drive in some runs as well. He's got more protection around him now with Todd Frazier behind him. It's a really good play. I like your boy Freddie Galvis, too.
Okay.
So
maybe I'll just go Galvis and then I'll use Didi late. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of late entries tonight, I can tell. All right, that's all I got for shortstops. Anything else?
No, not really, actually.
All right, cool. Outfielders, we've always got a ton. I'll lead off with Gregory Polanco in Coors Field. Really like that a lot. And then all of the Marlins outfielders tonight against Homer Bailey, all of them are in play for me.
Yeah, you can follow up the Gregory Polanco with Andrew McCutchen as well.
Yes, right, Joe.
Hitting as much power, but we know that part kind of helps power a little bit, but he's still getting on base at a huge clip, 477 WOBA over the last 30 days.
Nice, nice. What's his face? With Homer Bailey, right-handers are the ones that are clubbing him, especially this season. In 50 plate appearances, 7 extra base hits, 3 homers, a .457 batting average are right-handers against Homer Bailey this season.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, so that puts JT Realmuto in the catcher discussion as well. Didn't even think about him. All right, plenty of outfielders to get to. As I mentioned at the top, again, hate to be homer boy, but the Phillies today with Odubel Herrera, Nick Williams, both of those guys are absolutely crushing it lately.
Is Nick Williams above 2,500?
Yes, he's at 3,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was one of the travesties of the last month is Nick Williams, the way he's been hitting, just absolutely never getting a price increase.
Actually, I'll let you guys know if I'm playing him, because this whole tear that he's been going on, it's been since I haven't used him, and I pretty much used Marlins pitchers that entire series, so he really stuck it to me. I'll let you guys know if I go that route.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had for that.
Josh Reddick, Nelson Cruz.
Yes, yes. I don't with Reddick, don't forget Beltran with that sick BVP.
Yeah, Michael Conforto. Ooh. So.
Ooh, it's a Confordong. That guy pitching for the A's tonight, Blackburn, surprisingly good so far.
He is.
Did not give him enough credit.
Yeah.
But I will say this. It's his first start in the Eastern time zone. He's a California boy. So I don't know if the East Coast is going to mess him up, and then he's going to have to smell all the toxic fumes from Citi Field. So,
and we've gone this long and have not mentioned Chuck Nasty.
Chuck Nasty, yes, he is. What, 5,100 on FanDuel today?
Yep.
Oh, he said worth every single penny. You stinking animal.
Well, of course he is.
Who else we got here for cheap? Who's on the cheap end today for outfielders? Every name we mentioned is like $1 million and change.
David Peralta.
Interesting. He's got terrible numbers against Scherzer.
You said cheap. Matt. No.
I did.
There's not a lot of cheap, good options right now. Jabari Blash, maybe.
Actually, I wouldn't.
He's 2,700.
Yeah, the lefties are the way to go against Samardzija, but I brought it up. Bradley Zimmer, if he's leading off tonight for the Indians, 2,600 is going to be great.
Yeah.
FanDuel's hysterical, right? So I saw the tweet that you – or no, that wasn't you.
That wasn't me.
But somebody said, why would you put Jay Bruce at
2,400?
At 2,400, and they come back and they throw his stats sucks. Out. For like the last couple days. No, you guys messed up because you just put him back to 3,200. So quit trying to cover your ass. I thought Beltran would be a lot more. He's only 3,100. So I don't mind that. Max Kepler. Remember, we meant to talk about him. 29.
Yeah, Josh Reddick's 29.
Yeah, that is a steal.
I really do like Max Kepler and Josh Reddick. Jock Peterson's 3,300. There's not a lot of, as of right now, there's not a lot of cheap outfielders yet. I think the lowest that you can probably go, especially if he's at the top of that lineup, is probably Bradley Zimmer at 2,600.
Here's some interest here that I got. Against James Shields tonight, I thought Brandon Moss was at first base, but Brandon Moss and Alex Gordon. Moss is 2,300 and Alex Gordon 2,100. Both those
Brandon
guys.
Brandon Moss has 11 home runs. And 17 RBIs.
Against?
No. Total.
Well, he doesn't like people on base. He doesn't like sharing the wealth, I guess.
I heard that yesterday, and I thought that was hilarious.
But, yeah, both of those guys incredibly cheap there, going up against James Shields. Always a great deal. Oh, yeah, James Shields, former Royal.
Yes.
Did not think about that. I think I got my outfield set, though. Beltran, Kepler, Stanton.
There you go.
God, that looks sexy. Damn, girl. All right. Well, with that creepy note, that'll do it for us today. Again, if you like what you heard so much and you're still not convinced, go to dfsarmy.com, promo code WIN, WIN, 7 free days. check out all that we got going on there. And again, if you like what you heard and you're sold, you're ready to get involved with the DFS Army, use the promo code podcast and get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. So I'm going to watch probably 20 minutes. Well, actually, I'm probably going to finish this article and then crash for like 5 hours since I haven't slept in a while. But I'm ready to take on this slate. I'm going to win some money tonight, Keith.
There you go. Good luck to you.
I'm going to do it. Don't you tell me I won't. All good. What do you got going on this weekend?
I don't know.
Okay. Sounds wonderful.
So,
I'm probably going to like watch golf myself, but yeah, I don't know.
I haven't really thought about it, to be completely honest. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it. So hopefully it's a good weekend, but who knows?
So basically what that means, DFS Army members and friends and family of the public, we're available to come to your barbecues this weekend.
No, I'm not available. But
no? Well, I'm available to come to your barbecues.
I'm not available. I will be doing things to try to keep myself busy, but as far as what, I have no idea yet.
All right. Just tweet me, 14a.walsh. You could tweet pictures to Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy, and you know we'll tell him all the fun he's missing.
There you go.
For me, Keith, rest of the army, we go.
Peace out.